Later today, the NBC singing competition American Song Contest will name its first ever winner.
The show is patterned after Eurovision, the global phenomenon that gave the world the likes of ABBA and Celine Dion. I'm Glenn Weldon.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about American Song Contest on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Yeah, we are.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, HBO original, The Time Traveler's Wife. Based on the best-selling novel, the new genre-bending series tells the story of Claire and Henry and a marriage with a problem, time travel. The Time Traveler's Wife premieres May 15th on HBO Max.
It's just the two of us today. The 66th edition of the Eurovision Song Contest will wrap up later this month, but between now and then, we will find out the winner of NBC's American Song Contest. Hosted by Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg, it's a singing competition that tries to duplicate the Eurovision formula by having each entry represent their home state or territory. The show started with one entry from each of the 50 states, plus five U.S. territories and Washington, D.C., so they started with a total of 56 songs by 56 artists and winnowed them down from there. The two-hour finale with performances from the 10 finalists will air on NBC and Peacock today. Now, Glenn, you are our Eurovision expert. I have watched a lot of American Idol, so we thought we'd examine American Song Contest from two different angles. One, as a way of bringing the Eurovision format to the U.S., and two, as a singing contest that would very, very much like to anoint an actual superstar. Glenn, I'm going to start with the Eurovision angle. How does American Song Contest compare to the grand pageantry and peace-loving spectacle of Eurovision?
It don't, short answer. Look, I think of myself more as a Eurovision devotee than an expert, first off. I came to it late in life. There's a whole teeming online community of experts. But Eurovision, I mean, one could study it a lifetime, Stephen, and not really know it. Tis like the sea, Stephen Thompson. Unknowable, full of glitter that doesn't biodegrade. We talked about this before this whole thing started, you and we were both skeptical. I think it's safe to characterize our positions. I was skeptical that it could capture what makes Eurovision Eurovision, even though the producers of Eurovision are the producers of American Song Contest. And that's why it's so mystifying that just from a purely production standpoint, it took them weeks to learn the basic language of Eurovision. It took them weeks to work out the sound mix.
Oh,
those early vocals were totally drowned out. That's still not 100%. It took them weeks to learn that if you let a key change come and go without a blast of fire and lasers and smoke and glitter, you are just doing it wrong. If there's a dance break that does not commence with a blast of fire and lasers and smoke and glitter, you are wasting everyone's time. And when I say this next thing, people think I'm kidding. I'm really not. I do not think this country possesses the requisite sensibility, the proper attitude, the angle of approach that's needed, because America, you've heard me say this before, Stephen, is a land founded by Puritans. We are still suffering under a legacy, an inherent distrust of not spectacle or pageantry, because we do that all the time, but of frivolity, right? Mm-hmm. Of fun for the sake of fun, of fabulousness as a basic American virtue. That doesn't exist. I don't like to reduce Eurovision to like camp. Oh, it's camp. It's irony. It's more than that. But what it is knowing and self-aware and constantly cheating to the camera to wink at you, which I think is a perfectly good workable definition of queer. Eurovision is queer, Stephen. American Song Contest is the opposite. It is, with some important exceptions, it is achingly earnest. It is sincere to a fault. It is devoutly mainstream. It's basic, in other words. And these video packages we see all the time of these artists are like every NBC U.S. Olympic athletes video packages you ever seen. They hit the same bullet points, the same four. They're going to tell us that they love their family, that they love hard work, that they're out here chasing their dreams, and that they just want to make the people of insert state, territory, or district proud. So I think you're going to be the better expert here, Stephen, because this thing has so much more American Idol DNA than Eurovision.
So much more.
I suppose that's inevitable, but it was disappointing to me.
Yeah, and part of that American Idol DNA comes from Kelly Clarkson as one of the hosts. She was the first winner of American Idol. Some of the contestants are veterans of singing shows, most notably Jordan Smith, who won a season of The Voice, is a finalist on tonight's show, and brings that kind of singing show energy, which is a different energy from Eurovision. Eurovision is very much about spectacle, about really blowing out a big and grand performance. And I mean, Jordan Smith at least taps into some of the hyper-earnestness that can creep into Eurovision. I think one of the biggest structural issues with this show is that I don't think there is quite the state identity in the U.S. that maps over national identity that you see in Eurovision. And they're really trying to sort of be like, I'm really here to represent Rhode Island. But like, but musically, does it necessarily map over? I mean, they're trying to sometimes zig when your state would otherwise zag. The representative of Oklahoma is a K-pop artist who I actually really, really like.
Me too.
But they don't necessarily want to lean too heavily into cliches of different states. But at the same time, they're giving you just kind of point by point, you know, this state has this. Wisconsin has cheese, etc.
But we're more than cheese. Cut to them eating cheese.
We're more than cheese. And now an artist who is from a family of cheesemakers. So I don't think it necessarily works. Now, as a singing competition and as a songwriting competition, it has, I think, stumbled into some interesting artists and some interesting different lanes of what singing shows can represent that I do think is kind of interesting. I do think it's kind of stumbled across a few interesting phenomena. One of them is that this show, in trying to represent different states, has brought in a few ringers. And this is something that you and I talked about when they were kind of announcing this show, was you had a bunch of plucky up-and-comers, a couple of people who were hoping to use this as a springboard into the national consciousness. There was also Michael Bolton representing Connecticut. There was also Jewel representing Alaska, the Crystal Method, Cisco representing my current state of residence, Maryland, Macy Gray representing Ohio. And then on top of those, you have artists who are currently very much professional working musicians, people in some cases with record deals. Alan Stone is a soul singer from Washington State. Alan Stone just played a Tiny Desk concert in 2020 and has been putting out records for the last few years. He's been nominated for a Grammy. He's not nobody. Tyler Braden is a country singer who has a record deal. You know, there are also current artists. What do you think of that kind of grafting of unknowns with, for lack of a better word, ringers?
Well, that's typical of Eurovision as well. I mean, I think Flo Rida was one of the competitors last year in Eurovision. And so they will bring in people who have very successful track records to represent a state, even if they aren't from that state. It differs from the Olympics in that way, where you can bring in, there has to be some kind of connection, I think. Here, there doesn't have to be any kind of connection. And it does complicate the fact that there isn't as strong a state identity as there are country identities. I mean, America is multicultural. We're not saying it isn't. But what I wanted to ask you about, Stephen, was the jury system, which is making this more complicated as it does in Eurovision. The jury is made up of a lot of music industry types. And when you look at what they value, each week we learn which artist the jury decided was the best, you know, they earn the most points from the jury. If you look at just what they value week to week, I was picking up the stench of this kind of anti-pop sensibility that I thought we were beyond. They would probably say they're valuing authenticity, which here gets defined down, right, to mean beardy white dude with a guitar planting himself at center stage and disavowing anything fruity back there like dancers or lights of pyro. No, thank you, ma'am. And just muling out this really basic ballad about the one time he had an emotion, you know? That's consistent week to week. Do you agree? What's going on there?
I mean, it is really hard to tell what the jury is looking for. I have found that I've been able to usually predict what the jury likes. One thing the jury likes is Alan Stone, the aforementioned soul singer from Washington State, who they put ahead of everybody in both of the rounds in which he competed. I do wonder about the extent of the industry connections and what labels they might represent, what radio conglomerates they might represent. We have only met one jury member, and he works for iHeartRadio. And that, to me, would lend itself more to looking for the next big radio artist, which would certainly not preclude pop. I have been taken aback, as I think you have, Glenn, by just the sheer number of country singers that have kind of come through the ranks in years. Some cases very, very commercial country singers, where if iHeartRadio has country stations, there are some very, very catchy country songs that they could have advanced. A guy from Montana named Jonah Prill had a very, very, very catchy song that you could just imagine hearing 30 times a day if you're listening to a country station. Almost every lane of bro country imaginable has been represented by the artists on this show. But they do seem to, as you say, value specifically Alan Stone, who is a soul singer. I wouldn't necessarily imagine hearing Alan Stone on iHeartRadio stations very much. So, Glenn, I do think you have a point kind of about the search for authenticity, which I think is such a waste of time when you have kind of electrifying performers like the artist Alexa. And I hope I didn't just activate your home electro servant. I don't know what those things are actually called.
Smart speaker. The term is smart speaker, Steve.
Smart speaker. Thank you. I do not have one. But this artist puts on a full K-pop spectacle with a very, very catchy song called Wonderland. And that song really, and that performance in particular, like if you start with the supposition that people know who this artist is, and you put that performance on the Grammys, it would be a highlight.
Yep.
We'd be talking about it as, I thought that was a terrific performance. And that's an artist who is not a household name performing on American Song Contest. And I see that performance, I'm like, that is clearly the best. That is clearly going through.
Well, she is one of my favorites, probably my favorite, because she is serving Eurovision diva. I like the production. I like the commitment. I like the song. I like her breath control. Mm-hmm. There is a very strong backing track here, as there is in just about every performer. But this is a very athletic performance that led some viewers to conclude that she was lip syncing. She's not. She has just been trained by a multi-billion dollar K-pop industry to perform at that standard. I love her. I hope she goes all the way.
That's certainly my rooting interest as well. One song that will not be going through to the final, it did not clear the first semifinal round, is the song that seems to have popped the most from a viral standpoint. One of the co-sponsors of this show is TikTok, and a song that captured the imaginations of many TikTok users is a song by a guy named Ryan Charles from Wyoming. You will know the title of it, I think, very quickly when we play the clip. I'm new boo goofing in a dime bag snakes skin. So damn fresh, the red is still shaking. That is new boot goofing.
Yeah, it is. This is a novelty song. What was the last big novelty song? Is that something that we don't have anymore because the monoculture is dead? Like, it seems to me the country is more open to the notion of a novelty song. The streak, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Now, granted, those examples are at least 40 years old, but do we still have novelty songs, or has TikTok and the fracturing of everything kind of...
I think novelty and pop have kind of bled together, where a lot of what would be considered novelty sounds can just pop as pop songs or country songs. This is, as you say, definitely a novelty song, but one that where I first heard it and I thought, oh man, this is the only song I remember, like, in the world.
And of course, it has a noble pedigree as far as I'm concerned, because it comes from a Reno 911 bit in which Officer Dangle gets some new cowboy boots he's very proud of and celebrates in the parking lot while walking back to his bicycle.
Genuine ostrich. Three payments. Oh! Wait, what? I'm just goofing. New boot goofing.
Yeah, he is.
The great Thomas Lennon.
The great Thomas Lennon, yes. Here's some other folks who are bringing, for me, who are bringing the Eurovision, the requisite Eurovision. Christian Pagan's song, Loco. Let's take a listen. Climbing to the back of Loco, I'll drive you crazy like Loco. You lose it cuando te toco, and I can prove it tonight. Como Loco, turn me loose like a Loco. Lick you up poco a poco, shine your diamonds so bright. I really dig this. It's reminding me of some of my favorite Eurovision songs of recent years. It's catchy as hell. And you know, when you cut back to Snoop, he's going to be going, Loco, because every time they cut back to Snoop, He likes a part of the song, and it's always the first chorus. I like the production a lot, too. I think this kid's got it.
I do want to talk about one of the other frontrunners, which is a singer from Kentucky named Jordan Smith, who won a season of The Voice and is now back in the singing competition world. And he has a song that is a finalist. It is called Sparrow. Jumps out at me about Sparrow is the chasm that exists between singing show good and commercial good.
Huh, okay.
This is a voice that wins singing competitions. Mm-hmm. It is a big voice. It is a bombastic voice. It is centered on uplift and grandeur, but you don't necessarily hear that translating onto what is actually popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think this guy's got a great voice, as you say. I don't think the song itself is particularly strong, but it is deeply representative of something that is classic Eurovision, which is the anthem. Eurovision has bops and ballads, as we've talked about, but it also has anthems, a third category. And anthems are about strength. They're about standing up and holding up and looking up and not giving up, something with up. And this is a classic example of that.
I mean, it is interesting. I mean, we talk about singing competitions. There are a number of performers who have come and gone on this show and a couple who are still in the competition who really evoke a genre that I would describe as 11th place on American Idol core. but we'll see. I've certainly been wrong before. I did want to ask, what do you think of Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson as hosts?
I like them both because unlike the hosts of Eurovision who are just there as window dressing, who are just there to explain the rules to you and interview the finalists, both of them are being pitched here as enthusiasts. They are rooting for everyone.
Everyone.
Which is, of course, a very American adaptation. Do I need the bits, the just stating the facts, the halftime report, the finalists giving hosts some tourist tchotchke from their state? No. But although Snoop can be just kind of an enthusiast and saying, I like that, I like that, I like that, he can be smart about the structure of songwriting in some of the video packages. He just chooses not to be in the moment. In the same way, Kelly Clarkson will call everything so good, but she does try later on to isolate some specific aspect of the song, which is good. I don't think the show needs a Simon Cowell. I think it would not work at all with this whole vibe that they're giving. So I like them both for very different reasons.
Yeah, I did find myself chuckling frequently at just the degree of shamelessness with which Snoop Dogg is willing to like absolutely everything he sees and hears.
Yep.
I kind of aspire to that kind of amiable uselessness in my in my own life. Well, we want to know what you think about American Song Contest. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Glenn Weldon, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced by Anna Isaacs and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.